She says, "You're all mine." I don't know, that could get dangerous. Well, good morning. Thanks for having me back. I just love to come to Pella. I was telling them, it's a very easy drive for me. I'm about 20, 25 minutes away. And it was a beautiful drive this morning with the snow and the sun shining. That makes it a little easier. I'm definitely a southern girl, so the snow is a little cold. I like the first snow and then it could go away. But it's all good. I love being in Iowa. I've been here 18, 19 years now. Don't think I'm going anywhere anytime soon. But today we're going to talk about what does it mean to be the salt and the light. And I remember reading this passage as a kid and thinking, what does that mean? Like, salt's what I put on my food. Like, I don't want to be something somebody ate, and which my child, we're reading Matthew in the Bible quizzing this year for kids quizzing, and he kind of thought the same thing, like, what does that mean to be the salt? And so I think every time I read this message, I learn something a little new. Anybody else do that with some passages? Like, you read it, and it means something right now, and then maybe years down the road, you read it, and it means something different. I love how it truly is the living word of God, and that God can use every passage for different things, for different phases in our life. And this passage, I'm going to read to you, and then I'm going to read what my study Bible kind of interprets the passage to mean, which is a little bit of an ouch if you read this message too and think about what God's saying to us as Christians. So it's Matthew 5, and we're going to start in verse 13. It says, "You are the salt of the earth." And that word "are" is going to be important when we get a little later in the message. "You are the salt of the earth. But if the salt loses its saltiness, how can it be made salty again? It is no longer good for anything except to be thrown out and trampled underfoot. You are the light of the world. A town built on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on its stand, and it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others, that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven." Amen. Man, this passage, when it talks about being trampled underfoot, reminds me of, I think I preached the message here where we talked about Jonah and he talks about spitting him out. These types of scripture, just, I love the ability for God to use these analogies and Jesus to speak in different parables that then my kids get curious. Have you ever taught kids or had kids where you read some of these scriptures and they're like, how does salt lose its saltiness? Or what does it mean to be trampled underfoot? I don't want to be trampled underfoot. God's very clear when he says some pretty strong words about things. So in my study Bible, when it talks about this scripture, it really is quite the kick to the gut. It says, "If a seasoning has no flavor, it has no value. If Christians make no effort to affect the world around them, then they are little value in representing God's presence in the world. If we are too much like the world, we won't be able to change it. As seasoning, we will be worthless. Christians should not blend in with everyone else. If we isolate ourselves from non-Christians, however, we will lose our ability to reach them. Instead, we should influence others positively, just as seasoning brings out the best flavor in our food." I don't know about you, but I don't want to be worthless. I want to affect the world in a positive way. And I want Jesus' light to shine through me to make change in the world. And I think it's so true when we say we are not to isolate as Christians. And oftentimes we think, like, these are my friends. This is my group I'm comfortable with. This is who I share my life with. But when we don't share our lives with those that are not knowing of who Christ is, we're not doing what God asked us to do. God has asked us to open our homes, to love on others. Who were the people that Jesus hung out with? Think of who the disciples were before Jesus chose them. We all have something to offer. So oftentimes when we think of salt today, we think of going to the grocery store and we can buy salt. It's actually one of the cheapest things you could buy right now, I think, in the grocery store. But in Jesus' time, salt meant something different. It was so much more valuable. Because in Jesus' time, they didn't have electricity yet. So they didn't have the refrigerator that they could go put their meat in, or the freezer that they could freeze it for years to come. They had to preserve it. And so that salt was used as a preservative so that it could help them to have food longer in the winter or through the summer months. So it was a very, very precious commodity. So when Jesus is here saying that you are the salt of the earth, he's saying that you are that precious. You are a precious commodity, and you are important. So when we talk about the value of salt, even in Roman times, where they would actually use salt to pay the Roman soldiers sometimes because it was that valuable. It had more value than their currency oftentimes. And so that was actually, I find it very interesting that that was where the word salary came from, was the Roman times and them using this salt to pay the Roman soldiers each time. So it is also one of those things that it's the only rock that we eat. Did you know that too? And it doesn't really have a lot of value on its own. Because we don't just go eat salt. I don't know about you. I don't just go eat salt. I put a lot of it on my food, but I don't just eat it. So it's just like us as Christians. We have a lot of value, but we don't have near as much value on our own. We need Jesus, and we need each other. As Christians, we are best when we're serving others, not ourselves. Is that not what Jesus asked of his disciples, too? He didn't ask them to go isolate or to go off on their own. He typically sent them together with someone, or they were to go and bring others along. We are to be like the disciples. Jesus gave us this great example, and we make it way more difficult than it needs to be. He asks us to love God and to love others. And as Christians, we are to be the salt of the earth. So we are not meant to be the entire meal, right? Jesus is the meal. We're supposed to season it. We're supposed to go out and share his message and share what he's already given us, what we already know. So when we think of the Bible, who are some people that would be examples of being salty? And I was talking through my message, and my teenage kids were like, salty? I don't want to be salty, because that means a whole different thing now in the new generation. I had to look it up. And yes, some of you younger ones are shaking your head and laughing. I am becoming that, like, I have to Google what my kids say because it's a whole nother language. Anybody else feel that way? Yes, Rob's raising his hand. Somebody else feels like I do. So salty isn't a good thing. If a teenager calls you that now, you're kind of like, I don't know. Micah, what's a good word? What would explain it? Yeah, like you're kind of angry or grouchy. Might be, so you're salty. But we want to be salty in the version that Jesus is talking about here, where we are the salt of the earth. We are the ones seasoning God's message and making it better and bringing people along. So the saltiest person in the Bible in Jesus's terms of salty was John the Baptist, right? John the Baptist paved the way for who?
Jesus, see, interactive, I make sure that you stay awake all through service. So John the Baptist paved the way for Jesus. He made the way for people to know who Jesus was and be prepared for his message. We are to pave the way for Jesus to come again. We are called to be John the Baptists. John 3 says, he must increase, but I must decrease. It's not about me. It's about God. It's about Jesus. It's about the Holy Spirit. Not about me. We are to be the salt, not the food. That's Jesus. We are just trying to preserve the message, which I think is important. God's word from Genesis to Revelations in Scripture, as it is said in the Holy Word of God. Not what I want to change it to be. We have a lot of that in today's world. If you're questioning what somebody's saying, go to God's word. Don't just read the one little passage. Read what comes before and what comes after. God's message is intended from beginning to end. He must increase, and I must decrease. I need to get out of my own way sometimes. I don't know about you. And I need to get out of Jesus' way sometimes. And I sometimes need to stop fighting what Jesus wants for my life. Because I guarantee you, in the end, he wins. I don't know if you've ever been the one that's fought against what God is wanting you to do. But he has a way of bringing you home if you just say, okay, I hear you. I want what you want for my life. So the other part is he asks you to be the light of the world. This one seems a little easier. Jesus talks about the light all the time. We hear about being the light of the world. There's nothing more useful than sun and salt. Used to be the saying in the Roman times or in Jesus' times, which is very true because they also, we already determined, they didn't have electricity. So they needed to just go into a room and flip a light switch and they're good to go. They probably got a whole lot more sleep than we do today, too. Because when it got dark, there was only so much you could do. And you only had so many candles or so much lamp oil for things. And so light was also a commodity. Because when the sun went down, that was the only way you could do anything. And today, excuse me, I don't have, I'm going to cough. So in today's gospel reading, Jesus calls us both the salt of the earth and the light of the world. What does that mean to be the light of the world? So six things I found in my studying. Being the light means that you that you are being too quiet when you're not being the light. Got to get my words right. When you are not being the light, you are being quiet when you should speak. My husband would tease, I don't have that problem. Hence, I became a pastor, so I get to talk for a living. But the other part is going along with the crowd. This one's very easy to do because we want to be liked. Nobody likes to be the one by themselves. But it means being different. Don't go along with what the crowd is doing. When we are not being the light, we're denying God's truth. This is a hard one in today's world, too, because many have manipulated God's truth. And so it is always important that you go back to Scripture and know what is God truly saying. It also is letting sin dim your light. When we sin, and we all are, none of us are Jesus, we all make mistakes, we all sin, we choose things we shouldn't, but then it means coming to the altar or to our small group of people and confessing that sin and laying it down and casting our cares, as we sang about this morning, at Jesus' feet and leaving them there. We as humans have a tendency to, okay, Jesus, please forgive me for, I don't know, smacking my husband. I didn't do that, I promise. But then laying that at his feet and walking out the door and leaving it there, not picking it back up, and walking out and carrying that burden all week long and thinking, Jesus doesn't really forgive me for that. He still thinks I'm awful. Man, I'm a terrible person. Oh, I shouldn't have done that. And oh, that thing when I was 16 that I did. And oh, that thing when I was 21 that I did. And we just carry that. And Jesus says, what are you doing? Stop letting it dim the light that I've put inside you. Let it go. I've forgiven it. And God says when you lay it down and you ask for forgiveness, he forgives you and he moves on. It is forgotten. So don't let that sin in your life dim your light. It also means not explaining the light that's in you. So I did not always live a life very pleasing of God. And now I try very hard to walk that path. I still stumble and fall. But people from my past that come and meet me again are like, what is your deal? Like, why are you so different? Or how come you don't do this anymore? And so God's saying that don't let it all dim your light and share what God's done in your life. When you share what God's done in your life, man, is it amazing to see the transformation in others. And everybody has a different walk. My story is different than all of yours. But God's going to use my story to transform and change those that I come in contact with, because they're going to see all that God's done in my life. And yeah, I've done some pretty icky things, but when I can share how God has done great things through that, and because I've chosen to change the direction and the trajectory of my life, he is doing great things through me. And he's going to be able to reach people that have maybe experienced the same things I have. Because the things that I've gone through in my life, and it'd be a long list, we'd be here all day, of the mistakes or choices that I've made. But because I'm willing to share those things, and some of you have been here when I gave part of my testimony as well, that through those things, through my son, who I had out of wedlock and as a single mom and things, there's a lot of things I could have stayed in that ick, and then that would have affected my son, and then maybe who his future choice of a wife was, or so on and so forth. But there are always two paths. I can choose to go the path that God's laid out for me, or I can choose to just continue to go down this self-loathing path. And I thank God every day that he smacked me in the face with my wonderful son, Colton. Because he now is an amazing man of God who's married an amazing woman of God and are attending a church in Ankeny and thriving in their life and have chosen to follow Christ because of the choices that I've made to say, man, you don't want to live there. You don't want to go down this path. Now, he can still make all of his own choices, but I've been able to lay some out for him of this is what happens. And I pray every day that if there are those in the congregation that are suffering from alcohol, addictions, or abortion, or divorce, or whatever, come talk to me. I will love on you and tell you what God's done in my life. Because God wants us to be the light of the world. He doesn't want us to dim it through our sin. He's saying, I've forgiven those things. Who are you going to be going forward? Jesus calls to let us our light shine both in the church and in the community. And sometimes we might feel like our light's not very bright. Sometimes we feel like our light is like Moses is seeing God on the mountaintop. No matter where your light is, he says to let it shine. Because the Bible tells us that every one of us has exactly enough to let our light shine in the world. God gives us exactly what we need. Moses didn't think he could go and talk to the Pharaoh. He argued with God. But God provided when we choose to walk the line that God's laid out for us. And so sometimes we don't feel like we have much. Anybody ever been like in a cave or spelunking or in a dark room with no windows in the basement, or maybe a tornado's coming and you've gone into a center room of your house with no windows? It's dark, right? Like you can't see your hand in front of your face. If you were to just light a tiny match, it would light up the room for that time. Same with if I flick the lights on in the room, it gives a whole nother amount of light, but it lights up the room. But even that little match was enough to see something. And so no matter what you think your light is, when you let it shine to those around you, it's just enough. God gives you enough to be able to affect the people you're with. Because sometimes if I'm the crazy, like, loud pastor in your face, there's some people that are going to be like, whoa, Jesus freak, back up. You are way too much. And there's other times that I'm just me. I don't even have to say God. I don't have to say Jesus' name. I can just be me. And when I first started, I started a new job in July. I'm the lab director at Ottumwa Regional. And there's times that it's been a pretty dark place in that hospital and laboratory with staff. And I'd only been there a couple days, and I had a staff member that went above and beyond. And so I just wrote a thank you note. Just wrote a thank you note and put it on her workbench and went back to about my day. 2 days later, she comes in my office and she's crying. And I was like, oh my gosh, what happened? Please don't quit. I don't have any staff. That's how healthcare works right now. Please don't quit. And she just started crying, and she pulled this thank you card out of her pocket, and she said, this is the first time I have felt appreciated in over 10 years of my career. I was like, wow. I didn't think anything of it. I just wrote a thank you and slipped it on her desk. Didn't think anything. And it meant the world to her in that moment. And so we never know what our little thank yous, our little hellos, in the grocery store, walking by somebody and like, man, I really like your shirt. And you can brighten someone's day just being the light and being Jesus. We don't always have to throw the Bible at people. There's times we need to. But oftentimes, God's just asking you to be the light. Be who you are and how God's changed you and made you who you are. That's all he's asking. So there is a quote from Charles Spurgeon that I love. It says, the Bible is not the light of the world. It is the light of the church. But the world does not read the Bible. The world reads Christians. You are the light of the world. Which is true. This book is oftentimes for those that have just said, I want to follow Jesus. Or what does that say? Non-Christians aren't reading this. They're reading us. I want people to know that I am Christian by my actions. My words are great, but words don't mean a lot if you don't follow them up with how you live your life. And oftentimes is a little bit of the, oh, well, they're all a bunch of hypocrites in the church. Great. That's who needs to be here. We need the lost, the broken. Jesus came for the lost and the broken and the sick. He didn't come for those that already were healthy and already doing great. Like, great, he's going to help, you know, be there for them too, but he came for the woman at the well. He came for the tax collector. So are we. And if we don't act the way God's called us to act, we're sure not going to bring them in to the family of Christ very easily. They want to know we are who we say we are. And oftentimes, I like the word disciple better than Christian. I'm a disciple of Christ. Because Jesus is pretty clear what the expectation was of a disciple. But all of us are different paths along the way. So we come to church and we say we're Christian and we get baptized and we move on. It doesn't always mean that, bam, we are going great, we're good, and we're going to walk the straight and narrow and everything's going to be great. We're all still working on who we are. The Holy Spirit is still working on all of us on things. And what God's working on me for is different than what God's working on you for. So we need to reflect the light of Jesus. But what's funny is when you think about, okay, so think about the moon. Is the moon a light at all? Does anybody know? No. It's like a big rock in the sky. There is no light to the moon. The reason the moon shines at night is because of what? The sun. See, I still have my teacher mode. Even though I'm not a teacher anymore. But once a teacher, always a teacher. The moon only shines bright in the sky because it's reflecting the sun. As Christians, we are to reflect the Son of God. He already does all the work. We just try to make it harder than it is. But he's already done it. We just need to reflect what Jesus is doing in our life. Tell people. I don't know about you, but when God's done some major things in my life, I'm excited. And I want to shout it from the mountaintops. When my two older boys decided to be baptized, it was one of the most amazing days of my life that my older boys decided to follow Christ. And now my 8-year-old son is asking, can I be baptized? And so we're talking about what that means. And I love that. We just need to reflect what Jesus has done in our life. And our world sure needs some light. I don't know if you've looked around lately. I don't even like watching the news anymore because it's usually not much good. Jesus tells us that being a disciple means providing the light to the world. We're called to reflect his light in the darkness of the world. And we've got darkness today, but if you read scripture, they did then too. We're not really dealing with anything new. It's the same problems they were dealing with then. Same message applies. We are called to let our light shine. And when we go back to that scripture and it says, you are the salt of the earth and you are the light of the world. It's what Jesus is telling you. But you know what? He doesn't tell us to be the salt of the earth or the light of the world. He's telling you that you already are. He's not asking you to be anything that you aren't already. Be the salt and be the light. All we have to do, in other words, to be this salt is to follow Jesus. We don't have to be the whole meal. That's Jesus. We just need to preserve it and season it, and Jesus himself will come along and be the whole package. We don't have to be the light. We just have to reflect it and reflect what Jesus' light is doing in our life. So let's not lose our saltiness in the good way. And let's not hide our light because the world needs both as much now as it ever did. And I'm a little side note too. If we don't stand up as Christians and start sharing the love of Christ and sharing his message, it's only going to get worse. It's our job. God's called us to be his disciples. And if we who come to church and call ourselves Christians aren't willing to do that, how in the world is the rest of the world going to come to know Jesus? It's our job. We are to be the salt and the light. And so when I ask this question of what does it mean to be the salt and the light, man, we should follow Jesus. And if you accept him in your heart and you are allowing the Holy Spirit in to transform you, you already are the salt and the light. Jesus says that. You just need to go be you and share Jesus. And I don't know about you, once again, but what Jesus has done in my life, in some areas of my life, is miraculous. And the things that I've been able to let go that I carried for years that were like carrying an elephant on my shoulders, it's no longer there. Now, there's still people out here that judge me for what I've done in my life. Okay. I'm not worried about what you think. I'm worried about what he thinks. And I'm worried about being who God's called me to be today, to hopefully bring along as many people as I can to the kingdom of God. Because he's got all the houses in the world. They're ready to be filled. But it isn't about checking boxes. It's about allowing the Holy Spirit to change us. Because if we're not who God's called us to be, and we're not actually changing and doing it, and we're just checking boxes, that's not how we get to the kingdom of heaven. You have to be Jesus. And once again, if you are carrying a burden today that you need prayer, or you need to get off your chest, I'm here to listen. I'm sure there are many others in the church that would love to hear and share. You confess your sins and move forward. Move forward. Because if you're carrying it, it's exhausting. And if you're so worried about what other people think, confess it to God. Lay it at the altar. You still probably should share it with somebody else, so that they can help support you in your walk. Because we're all here to love you and encourage you. Let's pray. Dear God, we come to you today, and we know you have called us, each and every one of us, to be the salt and the light. Help us to realize our potential, and that all things are possible through you, and that you give us exactly what we need, God, to do exactly what you want us to do. Help us to choose the path that is narrow. Help us to choose the path that you have laid out for us. Guide us, put people in our way, in our path, that help to bring us along the journey. Help us to be those people that bring people along in the journey. And that we are you through our actions. Because we know, God, that people are watching us. When we call ourselves Christian, people are watching what we are doing and saying. And they just are waiting to see, are we who we say we are? God, help us along this journey. And we know we're going to stumble. We know that there are roadblocks in the way, and that you tell us to take up our cross daily. Help us to do that, God. Help us to put people in our path that just guide and protect us and love us through the ups and the downs. God, I pray for those that are hurting and dealing with things that are stumbling blocks for them today, whether it be financial, whether it be mental issue, you know, anxiety and stress. Maybe they're having issues in their marriage or their relationships or work, and doesn't matter what the speed bump is. God, just help be with them. Help guide them over this speed bump and to put people in their path to help them along the way. God, we love you. Help us to honor you as we go throughout our week and to be your light in the world. In your holy and precious name, amen. Thank you. Have a great, blessed week. Enjoy before the sun melts it away. And I appreciate you guys inviting me back today.